Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is a bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Now, as ever, let's begin by banging these bongos.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Well, today I'm taking you to meet Lakshmi Hussain. Normally I record these podcasts several weeks in advance, which is what was intended for this podcast. But this one with Lakshmi was recorded just last week. During this conversation, she mentioned that she's got an edition of artworks coming out for Mother's Day. And already having podcasts lined up either side of it, we figured it'd be a shame to let that pass. So we made it into a bonus episode. That way it could sort of be crowbarred in between podcasts, you know. If you don't know Lakshmi's work, she makes paintings by the use of continuous line, predominantly using bold and vibrant blues, and reflects on motherhood both past and present. Now, I don't want to give too much away during the intro to this podcast, so I'll leave the description of her work there. The paintings in question can be bought via partnership editions. They're the ones that promote Lakshmi's work. So if you haven't already made a note of it, keep a pen handy because it gets mentioned later on in the podcast. Oh, and thank you to Tanny Burns for the introduction. So please, come with me over Zoom as I spoke to Lakshmi Hussain.
Yeah, so I always get called Lakshmi, but because it is spelled L-A-X-M-I, but I guess Lakshmi is like my stage name, isn't it?
Superb. Well, Lakshmi, we have seven questions that I ask every artist.
Okay.
The first being, how would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
I would say that I'm a painter and I draw, and I express the female body, I feel, in a way that is unique. I try to explore all types of bodies, be quite diverse, and just be quite open with the shapes and the forms that everyone has. And yeah, I do a lot of this in continuous line, and I think it's quite unique to who I am. I also use the colour blue a lot. That's quite personal to me, and I think that's why my work's become quite connected to the colour.
The blue. Is it one shade of blue, one tone of blue, one specific blue colour? Because one colour looked like a Klein blue and another looked like an aquamarine, but I didn't know whether that was the photograph that had been taken, the light it was in, or...
Well, I do use the Klein blue a lot, and that's the particular blue that I use for the Wembley Park mural. But I love all shades of blue. Blue's just a really incredible colour. And usually it's the quite intense sort of Klein, or I quite often use the Prussian blue, which is another really beautiful colour. But yeah, blue, any kind of blue.
And how did that come about? Is it symbolic of anything, or did you just, when you was working, it just sort of grew on you, you know?
So I think it is definitely symbolic. My mum wore a lot of blue. And so I lost my mum in 2018.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, very suddenly to cancer. And when she was sick, that was when I got my first studio. It was a tiny little shared space in a really beautiful building. But every time I went there kind of to escape. It was usually between hospital visits and going home and stuff like that. So I literally would just drop in for an hour, and it was my kind of therapy.
Yeah.
And for some reason, my blue peaked during then.
Wow.
And I couldn't, you know, I was just obsessed with it. I just wanted to paint everything in blue. I was looking for different inks, different colours, different shades. And when my mum died, it just became more and more intense and more obsessive. And on the 1 year anniversary, my sister sent me a picture of her, and she's wearing blue denim head to toe, and she looks incredible. And that is one of my first memories, that photo. So I'm 5 years old. I'm sitting in a boat with her. She's wearing this blue number, and I'm sitting next to the photographer. And I remember this day so vividly, like every moment of this day. And I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And my mum's blue is a softer, more kind of sky blue. That's what she loved. And then it just seemed to flood back all these memories of her wearing blue all the time. But I think that's what peaked it.
You said about that memory of you as a child. Isn't it funny how, like, for instance, that day there you're talking about, very probably nothing significant happened that day, but you can sort of remember being in the boat, getting in the boat, you know, laughing and joking while you're in it, the splashing, the sound of the water, the smell of the water, you know, all of those things.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really significant to draw you towards it. It was obviously just a beautiful day, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I remember specifically that morning, because my brother and sister are younger than me. My mum was like, wake up, we're going to this resort. It was the first time she took us to Philippines, and she was like, we can't wake them up, so it's just you and me.
Wow.
And I was, nice. Just felt really special.
There you go.
I just remember that day so well, and for a five-year-old memory, it's, you know, it's quite significant.
So the blue has now got an emotional attachment between Absolutely. You and your mother. So it sounds like you're going to be lumbered with blue for quite some time, doesn't it?
I know, my poor, poor family.
But if I could just say, doesn't it sit well on pretty much any colour that you put on the background, or that you have on its background?
Yes, yes. So many things go so well with blue, because I guess when we look at the sky, we never think, oh, what colour is going to go with it, because everything goes with it. So I think that's why it's unique in that way. I use such a vibrant blue, but blue is such a natural colour.
Yeah.
And we never think of it in that way. But we have it has so many emotions attached to it. So I think that's why it's so special.
So I've seen that some of your work you have on, it looked like paper, it could have been canvas, but either way, it was a tan sort of background. And that Klein blue the one I'm in particular that I'm talking about was a linear drawing of the female form, and man, did it pop off of that surface. It really did.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I often like the contrast of something quite natural. So it would be a natural paper, or I often paint on wood boards. And I just like the contrast of quite a neutral tone like that with blue. I do think that they work so well together.
And what is it about the continuous line that pulls you so much?
I quite like that they can be really abstract, but also quite structural in the way that they form. And also, when you work in continuous line, it's literally you put your pen or your brush or whatever on the paper and you just don't lift it until you've finished. And it's quite a fun task, like when you're doing life drawing or something like that. And everyone always is like, what? You don't want me to lift my pen? But I've just, it's become something that I use on a daily basis. And I love that you can have all these curls and squiggles and something forms out of this, you know, this abstract playfulness with line.
I mean, you draw the female form with your brush in continuous line. Yes. For a viewer, first glance, looks a simple drawing. For anyone who's tried it, it's far from a simple drawing, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I do a lot of workshops and everyone's like, how do you make it look so easy? But you've got to bear in mind that I'm teaching you something that I've been doing for years.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, you'll get it. It's just whatever you want to put your mind to, really, isn't it? It's also quite unique in a technique in that because it does lend itself well to being abstract, you really can just get carried away with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so special about it.
Excellent. Well, I mean, the continuous line drawings that I remember from a kid, because I wasn't into art as a child, but it was that just like making a little squiggle and then colouring in all the shapes within the squiggle, you know. And
that was the
continuous line drawing, although it was very abstract, you know, there was nothing at the end of it. Did you have art growing up at the home?
At home, yes, all the time. Not because my parents were creative, but because they nurtured it. I've been drawing since I was very little. When Mum died, we actually found lots and lots of like old cards that we've made. And all three of us seemed to want to make her a card or make Dad a card. And she had like lots and lots of paintings. And we obviously did it from really, really young. I believe I was painting from at least 5 years old.
Brilliant. I love it when artists tell me that. And where was it you grew up? Because, you know, as you mentioned, Indian father, mum from the Philippines.
They both met here and I was born here.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah. So I often say that I'm a Londoner just because, one, I think Londoners are very rare. And this is my home. It's, you know, it's such a brilliant city. And I've watched it change over the last 40 years. And I can't see myself being anywhere else. I always come back here.
Yeah, it's funny how, something can anchor you there without a chain, can't it?
Exactly. And, you know, I really claim the fact that I am a Londoner because I just love the city so much.
Brilliant. And what part of London is it?
So I was born in the Royal Free in Camden.
Yeah.
Grew up in St John's Wood because my parents had a corner shop and I used to be sitting in the window drawing as a kid. and then we moved to South Kilburn and I went to school in Marylebone and then we moved to Wembley.
Excellent.
We always had connections to Wembley. Like, we lived in Wembley when I was a baby. So it's back and forth between here and Kilburn, really.
So walking the streets of several different areas of London is quite familiar.
Yeah, and I love driving and I can drive across most of the city. I don't need a sat nav because I just, you know, it's quite a nice city. Well, I love it. So I'm always gonna sing its praises, but I know so much of the city, even the parts that I don't live in.
Excellent.
Just because of Dad's, because they had a corner shop, they used to deliver all over the city. And I used to sit with Dad and marvel at the city.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love London. It, just as you're saying it, yeah, exactly the same for me. Although, and I know my way around London quite well, but that was through bunking off of school as a kid and going up to London.
Brilliant.
It did pay off. you know, I left school with no qualifications, but I know my way around London.
It's, you know, it's one of those places that you, it's so big for a city.
When was it that you decided you wanted to be an artist?
It was about just under, I'd say 7 years ago. I was sort of painting and drawing all the way up until then, but I studied architecture for my degree and I really loved the drawing aspect for it, but that really solidified that I was an artist and not anything else. And then after that, I just kind of got an office job. And then when my kids were born, when my eldest was born, he loved drawing with me. And we just used to draw and draw and draw on days off or the weekend. And that's when I was like, I really want to do this more, make it like a proper hobby. Or, and then when my daughter came along, I was just obsessed. I couldn't see my life being without art in it anymore. and you know, the more that I did it, the more that my style evolved, and eventually, the rest is kind of history. I mean, I've been solidly working full-time as an artist for a year now, which it just passed a year, and I can't believe that, you know, this is my everyday. I'm very, very lucky because, you know, it can, you don't know which way it's going to go, and it's one of those jobs where it's not like you don't have a pay sheet for your time, and it, you know, you're not going to guarantee your income from day to day, and it's so unpredictable, but at the same time it's also so incredible to do something like this.
Hats off. You mentioned about the feeling, the urge to be an artist got a little bit stronger when your daughter was born. Do you think that was the parallel of you and your mother and you and your daughter? I'm not trying to lay you down on a couch here and psychoanalyze, you know, you and your mum's relationship by any means, but it just popped into my mind as
well. Mum was still around then, so perhaps it wasn't. I don't know. I don't know what propelled me to move it forward. I think it was more the more abstract of how difficult motherhood could be, and being something like an artist, which I'd always been in my bones, felt like if I can't do that and I can do all the difficult things that come with being a parent, then what am I doing?
Of course. Well, you mentioned that you've only been an artist a year or so.
And full time.
And you just mentioned your mural at Wembley. Couple of questions.
Yeah.
How did it come about? What was the mural and when was it completed?
So I literally just completed the mural last week and it was unveiled for International Women's Day because...
Oh, excellent.
The mural is called Landscapes of Women, and that was the idea that I put across when I was approached. So Zoe Allen, who curated the entire project, wanted to put together a spring trail for Wembley Park. And Wembley has this incredible art trail. You know, the art changes from I want to say quarterly basis, but some stay much longer, some are permanent, some, you know, change
just
every
parts
couple
of it
months.
Evolve. So it always
exactly.
evolves. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and, you know, part of the redevelopment of Wembley is that they have this beautiful art trail that evolves over time, and it's open to the public, and it's free for you to go and see and enjoy outside. And it's made Wembley such a nice... Wembley's evolved so much. I don't know if you remember Wembley.
I mean, I come from Dagenham and Barking, which isn't a great area, but Wembley was similar. The amount of times
yes.
I've been there. It was a London town like many other London towns.
Yeah, and now, if you haven't been to Wembley for 5 years, you wouldn't recognise it. It's beautiful. It's, you know, it's live and it's buzzing and it's got so many coffee shops and restaurants and everything. And the art trail adds to that. And so Zoe contacted me about during lockdown and said, I really love your art. I'm sitting on a bus and I've remembered you and I wanted to send you a message. I really want to work with you and we'll figure something out. And I was like, okay, really lovely to hear from you. I'd love to meet you. And we met last year and we chatted and we just got on so well. And she said, well, I've got this project which is going to be an all-female lineup and I'd love you to be part of it. And I was like, tell me what it is. And she was like, well, actually, you live there. So,
so just ticking every box as the conversation exactly. goes on.
And so I got the kind of brief of the sites that were available. And she said, have a walk around, think where you might, where your work might sit, and let me know what you think. And the Splay Steps is something that's never been commissioned before. And I saw it and I was like, yep, that's what I want.
Excellent.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I pitched for it and they said, we'd love it. They love my pitch and they really love my idea and how I could create this feminine space in an area which is obviously traditionally masculine, but also just a real pop of colour and, you know, adding to an art trail that's, you know, just an incredible space.
And could you describe the artwork itself and its surroundings?
So it sits almost at the foot of Wembley Park, almost at the foot of Wembley Stadium. So if you're walking up to Wembley Stadium from Wembley Park Station, you cannot miss it because it's the brightest blue you've ever seen around. And it's a set of concrete steps, but it's kind of the steps where they're wide enough that you could also sit on. So they're often a place of attraction for people to go and sit and have their lunch. And I wanted it to be a bit immersive so that the figures change shape when you're walking on them, when you're walking around them, when you're climbing on them. So it's kind of like you can explore different forms of women as you're immersing yourself in it. And so I covered all the steps in my bright climb blue.
Nice.
And then I painted some very delicate forms interweaving bodies over the steps in continuous line. So
excellent.
Lots of really curvy shapes. They're very abstract, but also you'll see different shapes wherever you're standing. And that's what I think is really beautiful about it. I've never worked on a canvas that's that structural, you know, it's not just flat. And it was really interesting and intriguing to have to figure it out as well.
Excellent. Yeah, so I mean it's a proper shift from working on a flat 2D Absolutely. Surface in front of you on the wall.
Yeah, and we did quite a lot of drawings trying to visualize what it would look like on paper and, you know, with photographs. But also at one point I was like, you're going to have to trust that a little bit of this is going to be interpretable because yeah. I can't draw something that's a 3D shape onto a piece of paper. That was one of the hardest things I've had to do in a long, long time. And I have an architecture background.
There you go.
But yeah, it's very difficult, you know, to show something flat on a photograph for something that's 3D.
How was that relationship started? You said that she'd seen your work.
She'd seen my work, I believe, on Instagram and Excellent. Followed me. Yeah.
Excellent. I love it when stuff like that happens.
Do you know what? Instagram, for all of its woes, that people find the, you know, because it's shifted so much over time.
Yeah.
It has been what's helped my career. You know, I've got a very good audience and they're very engaged in what I do. And they're just so, the people that connect with me are just incredible. You know, they're my inspiration for when I draw, and vice versa. I feel that they communicate that I inspire them as well. So I'm very lucky to have a platform like that. I know it's very difficult for other creatives to use social media, but for me, it really has been what's helped my career so much. It's also about getting your work out in front of people and people also wanting to shout about that. And sometimes it can be really difficult for artists to, you know, to get that part off the ground. Yeah. But for anyone who is looking to be an artist, I'd say just to keep going.
And I mean, being a professional artist for just over a year and having that start, did that start before you become a professional artist?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, no, I'd already had quite a large platform before I decided to kick it off and make it full time. Yeah.
Excellent. That's a good way to start your professional career, at least, isn't
it? Yes. No, definitely.
Can I ask, which piece that you've created has got the strongest emotional connection?
Can I show you it?
I'd love to see it, yeah.
So many people have asked me if I'd sell this, but I can't sell it. And it's just sitting here because...
Oh, well, perfect. And what we're looking at, for anyone that doesn't know, is...
So that's...
Oh, you explain.
Oh, sorry. So it's a painting of me and my baby. And so when I had my third child nearly 2 years ago, I wanted to reclaim how I felt about my body with this pregnancy. The first two pregnancies were so difficult because I couldn't predict, or I just felt I had no control over who I was changing into. And then motherhood, your body keeps changing, your mindset changes, everything changes. And third time around, I was like, this is the most comfortable I felt as a person, as a mum, as a vessel. And I wanted to document it. And I documented my third pregnancy a lot. And I continued documenting it after I had my baby. And about a year ago, I started including my baby into my paintings. And it's something that I'd never thought about before. And I just love it. I love that that's going to be memories in the future, for us to just appreciate that part of our lives.
Yeah,
that was the driving force for why I decided that I needed to be an artist, because your body does this incredible thing, brings these people into your life, nurtures them past and beyond, and you know, until they're 18 like yours. And if I can do all that and it seem almost part of my DNA, and you know, it's just more of a natural thing that you keep adapting to, why can't I do something like being an artist?
Yeah. When you look at the act of becoming pregnant all the way through to giving birth, and you think about the change that has happened inside you, it's, you can't even fathom it.
It really is. And you know, even like just nurturing them past that, you know, breastfeeding and all the emotional woes, and now, you know, my older two are kind of almost preteen, and all of those things that happen then. It's just, you know, you never, once you become a parent, you never stop being a parent, even when they get older. It's just such a crazy ride, isn't it?
And the painting you just showed us was you sort of set back, knees in front of you, baby on your lap. You can't see the heads of you and the baby.
No.
Could I ask, have you got artworks of your other children as well?
I haven't, but I want to. That's the project for the rest of this year, actually. So the beginning of this year has been really, really busy. And I hope that it's been like an investment in terms of that it means that I can sit back for a little bit of the rest of this year and actually explore painting. So that's my aim for the next few months, to kind of slow down in terms of work and concentrate on my paintings.
Lakshmi, how do you relax?
Do you know what? Someone asked me this the other day. They said to me, now that you've turned your passion into a profession, does that mean you don't have a hobby? And I was like, no, actually, you know, drawing still does what it's always done for me. And, you know, just being alone to be able to draw for the sake of drawing is something that I'll never lose the quality of. Like, it's always quality time for me. But otherwise, yeah, I can't at the moment because I have the baby with me all the time, but otherwise I would love to like exercise more, or now that we're having summer, I walk a lot. I love to walk. But yeah, that's I listen to a few podcasts, love listening to music, and I don't read very often anymore, but do love to read a book.
If there was you and five other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
Oh, ideal group show. I would love to be in there with Helen Frankenthaler.
Nice.
I'd also love to see my work alongside Lee Krasner. I mean, we're talking about big artists.
Of course, you've got the it's your ideal one, so you can have who you want.
I have grown a really incredible community of local artists and friends, and one of my really really good friends is Asha, and she is a textile artist now, but she does paint a lot as well, and her work is just so serene and tranquil that I think there could be a really good synergy there.
Nice.
And then I do love the work of a Toronto artist called Tarsine. She's got these really bold, like she works with photography and then she paints on top of them, and they're just really bold and fun. But the aspect of her minimalism is what draws me, and still they're quite impactful paintings. And then last one, I really should have left three spaces, but actually I would love my daughter to be in a show with me. She's an incredible, incredible impressionist. And I hope that my sons never hear this podcast because they'll be like,
oh, you've painted one and you want to be with the other.
But my daughter, I think she will be an artist, even if it's not her profession. But she is the one that as soon as you get home from school, you're like, where is she? Oh, she's upstairs drawing. I think she's an artist really in her bones. Like, it's something that will never leave her because everything is art. It's like she's made some of our glasses into art. I'm like, what happened to that set? She's paper mache'd it and made it into something else.
Super.
I didn't think you needed it. It was just sitting upstairs. I was like, yeah, because I put my glass down.
Excellent.
You know, she's made shoes into art, all the useful things that we obviously need.
Yeah, you got nothing to drink out of or walk in, but yeah, you got lovely sculpture around the house.
Yeah, she's one of those people that I wish. Do you remember when you were a kid and we had loads of art programs on after school? Like, we had Art Attack, we had Blue Peter. We had all of those cool, fun art programs that you don't really get anymore. She would just be the one that is sat plonked in front of the telly with a whole kit ready for whatever they were going to do. That would be her. And yeah, I would love her to be in a show with me.
Maybe you should stick a camera in front of her and let her be the person that, you know, that infuses the other kids to pick up the brush.
Yeah, definitely. She would be so good at that. Yeah, it would be an honour to have my daughter in a show with me.
What do you reckon you'd be if you wasn't an artist?
Oh, gosh. Do you know what? I actually had ambitions of being a surgeon, but I'm so squeamish. But I did really enjoy biology and maths, and I did think for a long, long time that I'd be a surgeon. But you know, my sister didn't get, she had an accident where she dropped a glass on top of her. That it was like an ornamental glass, and she was cleaning it, and it dropped on her face, and she got a cut right next to her eye. And I was like,
I thought that was gonna go somewhere else. And I thought you jumped into action. You know, you put your stony side aside, but no, you just let her suffer. You let her bleed out.
She teases me about that all the time.
And rightly so. Excellent. It's a surgeon, but only in theory.
Yes.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, it's the first time anyone's answered that with a theoretical response. Have you got anything coming up?
I do. Potentially something really fun. I'm doing some illustrations for a publisher, and yeah, I can't really talk much more about that, but okay. I'm really, really excited to see them all to come together.
Excellent. Sometimes things are on a need to know basis for a reason, aren't they? And I don't need to know, and nor do you at the moment.
And I've also got a really lovely collection of a small collection of paintings for Mother's Day. They are kind of little nod at motherhood, but more a glance into motherhood, because it is a small collection. I wanted them to be intimate, and they go through the phases of motherhood. So perhaps the newborn and the new mother, the motherhood that takes you into adulthood. Like, I think it's really truly special to have that relationship with a parent in adulthood. It's very different to childhood, and if you do really have that close relationship with your parent, I think that's quite a nice thing to document.
And what are they linear drawings again?
They're paintings, yeah. And these are all on really beautiful papers, so they're quite fun. Well, I say fun, but they're really intimate and special, I think.
What size are they?
So they range from about A3 up to A1.
Nice.
Yeah, just 5 paintings. So it's quite a very small collection, but I wanted them all to be quite a meaningful piece. So they took some time to put together.
You're putting those up for Mother's Day itself?
I believe they will be available before Mother's Day, so that, you know, if you wanted to gift a special mum or mum-to-be, and they will be available then.
And where will people be able to see them?
They'll be able to buy them on Partnership Editions, who represent me, and I work a lot with on lots of different things, but mostly they sell my artworks.
What are Partnership Editions?
So Partnership Editions are an online gallery who sell affordable works, and they just really try to remove the stigma that artworks need to be unaffordable, that they want to make art more accessible to everybody. Georgia, the founder, has worked really hard at putting together different artists and adds new artists to the roster every year, actually.
Brilliant.
And it's a really nice community as well. Like, within Partnership Editions, we all feel like a little family.
Oh, good. And so you should. You know, if you're happy in your environment, it does emit in the work, I feel, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And how can anyone see your work, be it website or social media?
So the best way to see everything that I'm working on currently is on Instagram. I'm at ThisLakshmi. And I also have a website, which is thislakshmi.com. But yeah, most of my stuff is up to date on... I mostly update Instagram. It's my tool of the trade.
Excellent. And you've got a very good Instagram, if you don't mind me saying.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And next time in Wembley, I'll go and walk over your artwork.
Well, my studio is a stone's throw from it, so you're even more than welcome to come and have a coffee.
We'll do for definite. Lakshmi, see you later. Ta-da. Okay. If you've got an exhibition or any other creative project within the arts, or even just want to promote your own artwork, you could do that in podcast form similar to the one you've just listened to. They start at a convenient price point that is comfortable for any artist working on a budget. This podcast itself is created by working artists, and we know how important that is. So to find out more information, you can email us on ministryofartsorg@gmail.com or on Instagram at ministryofartsorg. Ta-da!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.